Show and tell time. You thought that was over last week. Yeah, show and tell time today too, because I brought this tie-dyed t-shirt with me to show you. It's actually pretty old. Has a couple of stains on it these days because I've worn it a lot, including while working outdoors, but that's not that's not the part I wanted to show you. I was actually pretty pleased with the way this one came out. I dyed it myself when Margo and some friends were having a party at our house. I actually looked up online how to get that faded diagonal thing happening, and it mostly worked, except you can see there are some big white spots, mostly in the pink and orange area here, big white spots where the dye didn't quite reach. Little air pockets that I didn't quite get the pointy nozzle of the dye bottle all the way into. I'm gonna put it here. Hold it with a moment. Because I want you to keep that image in mind that the image of an incomplete dye. Today's reading from Matthew is another glimpse of Jesus in Jerusalem during Holy Week. All the readings this fall have had this setting, and we have seen Jesus in one confrontation after another with those who oppose his leadership and his message. The reading today about an interaction with an expert in the law seems to bring these verbal confrontations to an end. Jesus is always able to silence his opponents with his words. When the scholar asks what's the greatest commandment, no doubt he expects Jesus to answer with something the scholar could dispute. Instead, Jesus replies, "Love God with all your heart and soul and mind." And the second commandment is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, those commandments come directly from the law of Moses. Love God with all of heart and soul and mind is found in Deuteronomy. Those words begin the daily prayer for our Jewish brothers and sisters all over the world, and it has since long before the time of Jesus. And love your neighbor as yourself is among the commandments and laws in Leviticus. In fact, a famous story preserved in the Babylonian Talmud states that the renowned first century sage Hillel once paraphrased it for a non-Jew by saying, "Whatever is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor." And that's the most important thing in Torah, and all the rest is commentary. Love God and love your neighbor. Those are the words the faithful keep before them always in the little black boxes, the phylacteries, tied to their wrists and to their foreheads. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The word love in the English language encompasses a lot of meaning. We love our partner, our family, our friends. We might love our job. We might. We love our pets. I won't speak for anyone else here, but I do love chocolate-covered caramels in many forms. I love a cozy fire on a wintry day. I love a sunny summer day on the lake. I love this time of year, well, maybe not when it's raining, but the crunchy leaves underfoot, the red and gold trees against a clear blue sky. And I love God, and I love my neighbor, or at least I try my best to do so. In ancient Greek, the language of the Christian scriptures, there are several words that translate as love in English. There's philia, brotherly love, a passionless love. Eros is the word used for passion or desire. But those two, philia and eros, are not often used in the Gospels. Agape is the word most often associated with God's love, and it is not a passive verb. It is not a feeling. Agape love, says Lutheran Seminary professor Clayton Schmidt, is a choice. It is active. It is marked by patience and generosity. It is loving kindness in action. If I asked you how you are doing at love in action, I think you'd say pretty good. I think we're pretty good at loving God, pretty good at loving our neighbor. especially on Sunday morning, right? We clean up, we dress up, we show up with a smile to greet our friends here at church. We sing the hymns and we pray the prayers and we leave our offerings. And in this hour, we're doing pretty good at loving God. And we have avenues for loving our neighbors. We give to the food pantry and the SPCA. We support refugees and anti-poverty initiatives. We oppose gun violence and racism. We find ways to volunteer our time and places to send our money. We're kind to strangers at the grocery store or the hospital or the library, right? We're kind to animals. We're good people most of the time. We love God. We love our neighbors. What about ourselves? Because the scripture says, love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear that last part? Love your neighbor as you yourself are loved. As you are loved by others, as you are loved by God. How you doing with that part? Because I think if we are honest with ourselves, we believe there are parts of ourselves we don't think are lovely or lovable. It's kind of like we have these little bubbles that we think God's love can't touch. Like my tie-dye t-shirt has white spaces where the dye didn't soak in. Maybe we think God loves us on Sunday mornings when we're all cleaned up and neat, when we're singing and praying together with and for one another. But maybe we aren't so sure when we've had a long day at work and our hearts are not feeling so kindly toward our neighbors. Or we've had a fight with our partner, or that so-and-so cut us off in traffic. Maybe we think God can't love us when we are angry or depressed. Maybe we worry that God thinks less of us when we're not doing something for others. How dare we sit and read a book or enjoy a cup of coffee and stare at the beautiful countryside when we could be at work for God's kingdom? Please hear the dripping sarcasm in that last sentence, okay? Or maybe we think we are unworthy of God's love because of our past mistakes, or because someone in our life has made us feel worthless. Friends, please hear me say, you are loved by God, period. You are loved by God, and you have been loved by God from the beginning. In Psalm 139, the psalmist writes, God, you go before me and even follow after me. You place your hand of blessing on my head and on my heart. And there is nothing we can do, nothing we have ever done, nothing we will do in the future that will make God stop loving us. The Apostle Paul wrote often about his shortcomings and his failings. In this first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says, we had previously suffered and been treated outrageously. And yet he and his companions did not view that as any kind of lack of love from God, but rather they trusted God was with them through it all, through both the good times and the bad. And Paul expresses his confidence in God's loving presence most clearly to the Romans when he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. God's love is not something we have to earn. And there is nothing we have to hide from God. God gives love and mercy and grace to us freely, abundantly, liberally, no strings attached. My tie-dye t-shirt would have come out better if I'd used that tapered point to reach into the folds and the creases, the tight places that are not as exposed, and if I had been more liberal in applying the dye. When we are feeling unworthy, do we trust God the way Paul did? Do we expose those tight places to God, and do we let God pour more love into them? because I believe God's trying to. I believe that God is wanting to show us love in every sunrise and every bird song and every smiling face we meet. Do we let God speak to us through those? Do we let God tell us we are worthy of love? Do we let God call us the beloved? It feels to me like until we do that, until we accept God's unconditional love for us, we won't be able to love God with our whole heart and mind and soul. And we won't be able to truly love our neighbor as ourselves. We cannot pass on what we have not first received. God loves you and me. Receive that love in all its forms. Let it soak in and reach even the deepest, darkest parts of you until every bit of you is colored with God's love. And what flows out from your heart will carry all that beautiful color to your neighbors, all your neighbors, all over the world. And isn't that what the world needs most right now? Amen.